Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a good one for our listeners today, me and my good friend
Dave Colonen.
Dave, it's a good one to be aboard here today. You know, normally about this time, we're telling our listeners to grab a pencil and paper and take some notes, and we'll share some scripture and some powerful thoughts. I decided to change gears today. Let's let them relax. And you don't have to take notes today if you don't want to, because I think the material today lends itself to easy listening and something to give you a mindset rather than a specific step-by-step instructions the way sometimes we go through material. So relax, sit back and enjoy this one. We're going to talk today about pursuing great people. And that's why I think this is kind of powerful. You know, as we read books and some printed material and we make all kinds of notes for ourselves to share with our listeners, every now and then something strikes you really powerful. And that's what happened when I got onto this subject of surrounding yourself with good people. How do you go about doing that? Well, let's sit back and relax and talk about just how that happens. A simple fact of human nature is that we begin to take on the attributes of the people that we spend the most time with. The Bible kindly agrees that we are shaped by the company that we keep. We adults get to choose our relational environment to a large degree, but none of us had anything to do with where we were born or who we spent the first years of our life with. And as a result, many of us inherited some extra baggage. It can be very painful and discouraging. Well, that makes it all the more important for us to seek our positive influences. Our baggage and our background demands that we pursue great people. And that's what we're going to talk about here. The most influential people in our lives, obviously, are our parents. For better or worse, that's reality. We got whatever they had to offer in terms of both natural and supernatural, genetically and environmentally. And our parents, or those people who played a parent's role in our lives, have really shaped us more than anyone else has. Before we move on to these people that we choose as our life shapers, we need to deal with those that we didn't choose. Many people talk only about how wonderful their family was, or just how many talk about the painful issues they had to deal with because of what they went through in their families. Well, the truth is that most of us are somewhere in the middle. We've been impacted both positively and negatively by parents and families. I've learned some important principles that have been helpful, to me anyway, in dealing with family and background issues. David, have you put any thought into how you select these good people and you surround yourself by positive people? Do you have any criteria that you go by yourself?
Well, when you pursue great people, it's an important time in your life. When I was growing up,
yeah,
I didn't have the perfect parents. We may find it easy to criticize our parents now that we're older for the fact that they weren't perfect. They didn't do it right. And if we're not careful, it's easy to hold grudges for a long, long time. We started out thinking our parents were superheroes, and most of us have never gotten over the disappointment of finding out that they weren't. But Jesus was the only perfect person. So we grew up under the influence of imperfect people who made lots of mistakes. And that's important to remember. One of the times that I finally got looking at people who could help me, I remember when I was invited to go to Barbados to be an associate pastor there. And the main pastor, who in years before had been the number one banker in all of Barbados, just a young man, and finally was asked if he'd like to go to an outdoor crusade. And he said, well, I don't need that. I'm in the banking and not in the church. Holmes Williams was his name. His wife finally just said, hey, sweetheart, come. I want to take you to church. So they went outdoors way at the back of the park where nobody else was. He was there, and he could hear because the PA system was good. And that night, he got saved,
wow,
got filled with the Spirit of God, and walked away from that park saying, I got to get started in doing something for the Lord. Forget this banking business. And at the peak of what he was going to be, a multimillionaire covering all the banking system in the Caribbean, he quit it all and started to have a church in his home of wow, white people. And it didn't last very long, maybe a year or two. And finally, God said, hey, I want you to deal with all the people of Barbados, not just the white people. And so he opened up a church, and it wasn't long until he was running thousands of people. And when I got there, here was a man who could tell me just exactly what to do. And I listened closely. I mean, he taught me how to get on the radio and to speak to these people and what to say. And he was an important part of my life. And I left Barbados having been educated like a professor at Bible College. I spent 3 years there. It was the best education I ever got.
Wow.
I've been using that information for the rest of my life, for the rest of my days. I use it every day. I am trying to win somebody else to what I found as a powerful, powerful, powerful experience. When I found the Lord, it was just like when Holmes Williams found the Lord, it was so powerful. In one night, he changed his complete thinking about life. That's what important people are. When they can help you change the way you live.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I think you and I, we need to have a powerful voice.
Yeah.
In our community, in WPFG, we have to act like we're helping people who are looking for us as important people in their lives. That's not a bragging thing. That's a saying, oh, God, help me to be able to say something today that will be of importance.
That's correct.
So many people dwell on things that they didn't get from their parents instead of dwelling on things that they should reach for. What do you think about that?
I agree. Yeah, we should dwell on the positive things rather than those things that we didn't get. What most people go through are very normal, predictable phases in their 20s and their 30s. And they wonder what's wrong and what we missed and what we missed out on with our parents. Well, my dad never said he loved me, or mom was always very critical. And don't we say things like that? Instead of focusing on what we did get, we focus on the negative attributes from our family life. We forget that our parents didn't grow up in a perfect family either. And they missed out on a lot because of their parents' weakness. That's just part of being a member of the human race. We need to accept the fact and spend time instead of thanking God for the blessings that we did receive. We need to thank God for all of those blessings that didn't come our way as well. We need to express the appreciation for a lifetime of events. Every human being, no matter how old or what your sex might be, we're longing for the approval of our parents. But most of us forget that our parents, no matter how old they are also, long to hear a child's appreciation. Many of us have been through some very tough times and still carry resentments towards our family members. But we survived childhood And somehow we provided for everything. It isn't hard, once you're able to recognize the good things that you have received, to say, hey, thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad. And that's what we need to do, more of that. And also to our children. Deal constructively with the damage. You know, everyone has baggage. Boy, oh boy, am I sort of learning that the hard way. Everyone went through difficult times. Not everyone, however, gets struck there without ever learning to move on. Plenty of people come out of bad situations and live a healthy, productive life. But one of them deals constructively with whatever issues you have so that you can grow. If you can pursue great lessons, however many or few are from God's people put in your life without your consent, you are well equipped to pursue great people of your own choosing. So don't just deal with the negative attributes. What do you think, Dave? Are those things important to you?
I think my parents did well by us children. They weren't great people until Christ came into their life. My mom was in a home with 11 children, and they were tough. They were far from God. Mm-hmm. And then a little church opened up on Main Street, a little church out storefront. And my mom heard the music and decided to go in there. She was only like 16 or 17 years old, trying to find her way uptown, and walked into that church and heard the music and the preacher, and she got saved that night. She went to the altar and accepted the Lord into her life. She came home, oh, thrilled to death. Her mom and dad, oh, man, I found the Lord. And her dad said, you found the devil. You can't talk about it anymore, and you cannot go back to that church.
Wow.
And my mom didn't listen to him. She went back every week. And finally, he said, okay, today's the last day. You either follow us or you have to pack your bags and leave if you want to continue with that church and with God. And my mom packed her bags at 17.
Wow.
And walked the streets of the city and down through the community and not knowing where to go and what to do. Nothing. She only had her clothes in a little bag that she had carried.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't know where she was going to sleep that night. And when she was walking, she saw this little sign on the yard of one of the houses that said, please, I need a live-in worker in my home. And my mom, 17 years old, went up to the door and said, hey, I handled 10 brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest, but I'm out of a job, and I need to stay. I don't have any place to stay tonight. I could start working for you now, and I could stay right in your home and help you. And that's the way my mother got started. Wow. She didn't have great people to begin with. Her brothers and sisters were they were drunkards. They drank their way through life. And my mother finally found her way and got into that little church. And the little church blessed her every Sunday, every time the doors were open. Man, great people. Then I was born into my mom and dad, who got married. My dad came into that church too, and he was thrown out of his house.
Wow.
And he found the Lord going down that street, hearing the music. And then he saw my mom, and they both got married. And I was the recipient of something great that happened to them. Yeah. They weren't always great people. I guess none of us are ever great until we find...
The Lord.
We find the Lord. We find the...
I agree.
So I'm happy for my parents. They didn't know how to do everything right, but they gave me a great start in the kingdom of God, and that's where I ended up. I ended up in the kingdom, and I've been there ever since.
Dave, that's one of the finest testimonies I've ever heard in my life. I did not know of your beginning.
Yes.
That's stirring. And that is exactly the material that we're discussing today, the background. Isn't it unusual that your mother had experienced such hostilities, but still she stuck by the Lord after she found her way, and that's the way she lived the remainder of her days?
Right.
That's just tremendous.
Later on, I went to visit my grandma And there was about seven brothers who went to the army in the World War, and all seven of them went out and came back, but they were all drinkers. Uh-huh. And I can remember visiting them and trying to see where I was just a kid. I didn't know anything about being to them anything. I just was a watcher. I watched them. But I didn't want to do what they were doing. They were heading for the wrong thing all the time.
Yeah.
And my father, he came from a family that finally his dad said, look, you can't live here anymore. You have to get out. And when he found that little church and found he got saved the first night he went there.
Just like your mom.
And, yeah. And they went there for a couple of years, growing in the Lord, and they didn't know about dating or loving or being somebody, getting married. And the preacher said to my dad, you know, Andy, he said, Andy, you know that Viola? She could make you a great wife, and you could have a great family. And man, he all of a sudden turned his head and said, where is my old boo? You know? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they fell in love and got married and had five kids, and I'm the oldest.
Isn't that amazing? What a wonderful story. Wow, that is just beautiful. Well, that's the material we're talking about today. My goodness, we uncovered this material for our listeners, and we might have uncovered it to benefit ourselves the most. Looking into the rearview mirror, how do you know what people you should pursue? One of the first steps is to look backwards. Which four or five people have most positively impacted your life? When you look back to see how and why God used certain people to develop your character, you begin to notice a pattern. You get glimpses of your individual needs and start to understand the kind of people that you need to have in your life in the future. That's why it's important to develop your own spiritual Mount Rushmore, I call it. In other words, identify those few people whose influence in your life is positive and indelible, the people you'll always remember because they inspired you and taught you about life. Remember those people. They can be role models, mentors, they could be teachers, big brothers, sisters, friends, Christians, non-Christians, whomever God has used to shape you. As you reflect on four or five key players in your history, you'll stir up memories of the lessons they taught you. You'll also see more clearly where they left off and where you need to find new great people to pursue. It's a spiritual Mount Rushmore, that's how I like to think of it. You need someone who believes in you, who will speak the truth in love, and who can give you a picture of the kind of person you want to be, and who will help you to set goals and push you towards reaching these goals. Five people have played that role for me, and they made up my spiritual Mount Rushmore. Isn't that good to think of these people that you look backwards over your lifetime who have left a major impact on you? How about your family members? Another one of my key models was my sister. She taught me what it was like to be a Christian. Not many brother-sister relationships are like ours was. I'm the oldest, but she was right behind me, not too far behind me. But when I'd come in from playing basketball, or she would ask if I was hungry and, you know, fix me a sandwich. When my friends came over to watch a ball game, she'd pour us a cold lemonade or tea or whatever we wanted to drink. And she showered us with a servant's heart that just looked very nice. About midway through high school, she got involved with Campus Crusade and came to Christ. She never preached or nagged me about it, but her example had a powerful influence. I remember being with a group of guys who were going out drinking, and the question in my mind was not what God would think, and I didn't know him yet then, and it wasn't what my parents would think. My number one question was, what would my sister think? I didn't want to let her down. I had never had anyone model love and integrity for me like she did. Everyone needs a role model for Christian character. Someone who demonstrates the person of Christ in everyday life. And my sister was the kind of winsome Christian that I wanted to be like. I wanted to be like her. Did you have anyone in your Mount Rushmore, Dave, that you kind of held into high esteem?
I still do today, all these years later.
Okay.
I met two guys, Dwayne Nicholson and Neil Enloe.
Yeah.
And we called ourselves the Couriers to be a singing group. Messengers, that's what courier is. A courier is a messenger who takes under lock and key on his wrist a case to foreign countries. They don't ever unlock that until they get there and say, this is from home, this is from our president. So we said, hey, couriers are important people. They carry the message in a haste, and they give the message. And so we became the Couriers. We tried to change our name. One time we took a whole month to say, look, let's change our name. Nobody likes the word Couriers. What's that mean? And I said, you know, at the end of the 30 days, we didn't come up with anything better. And I said, we're messengers in haste with an important message. Well, I learned from those fellows. They learned from me. And together, the three of us, we found greatness in each other that we could live by. Things that when I was not following the way I could have, you know, Neil would speak up and say, you know, we ought to do this. This is more important than that. And Dwayne would come in with his moments of truth and say, let's follow this line for a while. Let's see what God will do with us this way. It made a difference. We traveled. We had some real big goals. We did. Yes. We had goals, man. We wanted to. I had never been out of Pennsylvania, hardly. And then we visited all 50 states. That was a big. That was.
Yes, that would have been major.
Yes, Neil was from Illinois, and his dad was a barber.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we needed a haircut, we'd head for Illinois. He cut our hair a lot of times for free.
Sure.
Dwayne did that. He was a preacher. So we had an ability to go to Iowa and to Oklahoma to the churches where Dwayne's daddy preached.
Okay.
And to this day, those are my treasured guys in life.
Yes.
Nobody can come up in front of them and say, hey, Dave, who's your favorite people? I got to say, the guys I lived with for, what is it,
58?
Over 60 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
We're tired now, but we still see each other.
Yeah.
We went to, we got in Neil's house the other day, and we were going to sing a song, and we didn't sing. We talked for 2 hours.
Wow.
And it was such a treasured 2 hours. I mean, we wept together.
Yeah.
We talked about precious moments that we'd lived together. And I walked out of that Neil's house. I said, that was like a revival in my life. I feel so much better. Not that I ever thought, oh, I got to get over there and get to talk. It came as a unbelievable. We weren't even going to, we were going to say 5 minutes and we stayed 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it was all important. We got to say some things to each other that we should have said 10 years ago.
Sure, sure.
And it was wonderful. Great people. Oh, you can't talk me out of that.
I know.
I spent hours and hours and hours. I mean, to take every day of your life and spend 3 hours to get to the church and 3 hours to get home and 3 hours to do that. It's like an 8-9 hour shift.
Yeah.
And the next day we were doing it in another direction.
Do it all over again.
Yeah. We did that for 40 years in a row. My goodness.
Well, I can see how that's your Mount Rushmore.
You got to believe in guys who believe in you.
That's right. And you were a team. Wow. Dave, I want to hear more, but for now we have to say goodbye to our listeners.
Is it over already?
I know.
It goes so quickly. It's over.
And we're talking about how to associate with the great people that make you become a great person. We have to say goodbye for now. You know something, Dave? Let's pick this up again tomorrow, because I think the subject is so valuable and so great that we should continue in this mode. And our listeners will find it relaxing as well.
They are
surrounding ourselves with kind, loving people with solid ideas. For now, we must say goodbye.
Hey, Dave Colonna here. I'll see you tomorrow, too. Don't miss it. We'll be here.